energy in getting things accomplished here in YU. I'm sure many hundreds of people will benefit from that. Someone I can start.
You're good. I don't know how to use this.
Okay. And maybe I'll just start with an introductory letter or tefillah that appears in a sefer called Torah Seyuledes. Torah Seyuledes is a sefer that no one here, I think, has children, right? No one here has children, besides Michael. So if you so when you have kids, so it's a little bit complicated, all the various issues about Shabbos and about Nida and about when woman becomes a Nida, the brachos one should say, etc., etc. So there's actually a tefillah that's included in the sefer that a woman should daven and a husband should daven that they don't give birth on Shabbos. It's like a little bit of like a strange tefillah. Like you think of davening for peace, you think of davening for parnasa, but this is a tefillah about not being mispalel, about not being about not giving birth on Shabbos. The question is, why is that? Why should a person say such a tefillah? So the reason that he included it, or the reason that he wrote it, is because the issues about medicine on Shabbos are so complicated and so vast. Right? I don't know if anybody here plans on going into medicine in the future. I know some people do plan on it. And obviously there's a very big issue, a very big debate about Shomer Shabbos residencies, which is a topic in and of itself, right? But if you just think about every time you go to the hospital on Shabbos, what a person has to deal with, the cab on the way to the hospital, closing the door, not closing the door, money for a cab, the doors that open in the hospital, every single hospital you go to now, so besides the doors that are on the bottom floor, so on the halls themselves, the floors themselves, you have to go through electronic doors every time you want to walk from one side of the hospital to the other. So every 10 feet, every shiloh drawing blood, signing out people, is a shiloh in regards to halakha. There's no area, if I might be so bold to say so, that calls into question so many areas of halakha as to that about being a doctor and those issues about Shabbos in general. We saw that we know it's something that everyone here is familiar with, the mandate that we as people, whether people are physicians or lay people, have to make sure that people are taken care of, and to make sure that patients are taken care of, to make sure that a person who's sick is attended to. Right? The Gemara at the end of Maseches Yuma on Daf Pei Dalid asks the question, how do we know that one could be Mechalel Shabbos for Pikuach Nefesh? And the Gemara gives a number of different answers, some of which seem a little bit bizarre in face value. And the Gemara finally says that we know this from the Pasuk of Bechai Bohem. The person has to live with the mitzvos and not die with the mitzvos. I think one question that people really want to do the sugya well, they can ask, why does the Gemara take so long to get to the final answer? Shouldn't V'chai Bohem have been the obvious answer instead of giving other answers that perhaps seem to be much less fundamental? Why was V'chai Bohem only almost a last resort in the Gemara instead of something that is used earlier on? So you know V'chai Bohem is something that not to be taken lightly, but the Gemara is discussed, and especially in the Yerushalmi, that a person who hesitates in the case of Pikuach Nefesh, that person is a shofech damim, right? A case comes up in shul, a person has a heart attack or heart problems in shul, and you're wondering, should we call the doctor, should we not call the doctor? That person says Yushalmi is a shofech damim, and on top of that, Yushalmi says that the nishal, the rav who's asked the question, that person, that's maguna, that's something which is undesirous and disgusting, because the responsibility of the rav is to go ahead and to make sure that people know the severity of pikuach nefesh and the severity of these issues. And if a person even will go ahead and to ask a shayla, b'shas maisa, what should we do? That itself is maguna. That itself is not appropriate, because a person should be so trained that bikuch nefesh is something which is so at the front of people's consciousness. So the rav who creates an environment where people are not aware of the halachos, that they have to act immediately, so that rav itself is taken to task and that rav is criticized. We know there's a very famous sheet of the Rambam. At any point, anyone wants to stop and ask a question, feel free to do so. So the Rambam has a lashon that a person who is who's a gadol and a Yisrael should be the person who is involved in bikuch nefesh. And as machlokes, a poskim, what does the Rambam mean? But many poskim seem to assume that the Rambam means that it should literally be the rav himself, and the rav of the community, who is at the forefront of pikuach nefesh. The rav should not be calling this person, having another person doing it, but the rav himself should be at the forefront, that he is the mechal Shabbos to set the example for everyone else of what has to be done. There's a famous story by Ari Levine. So Ari Levine was in shul on Yom Kippur, And all of a sudden, he disappears from sight for about 20 minutes. And people are wondering, where did Ariel even go in the middle of Yom Kippur davening? That's where he went was. That the story goes that he realized there was a lady in his community who was not supposed to be fasting. And this lady was a woman living in Shalayim for many years. And Rav Aryeh Levine knew that how difficult it would be for her to break her fast. The idea of her eating crackers and drinking juice in Yom Kippur is something which was so repellent to her. So Rav Aryeh Levine himself went to her house with a tray of crackers and cookies and juice and stood there to make sure that she would go ahead and she would eat. And that has to be the mentality of people and Rabbanim in regards to Chilul Shabbos to some degree and Pikuach Nefesh. The issues as far as how to treat a patient on Shabbos, and then we'll get to the specific question about Hatzalah, that there's really four different categories of sicknesses and illnesses that exist on Shabbos, right? The first category is what the post can refer to as Mechush V'Alma. Right? Mechush V'Alma means that a person has a headache, the person has a cold, the person is not feeling well, the person has some low level of sickness, right? And what's the mechanism of treating that person, of that patient? Right? Nothing. For that person, you can't do anything. A person simply has a headache. So we know there's an isser of going ahead and treating that patient. What's the isser of giving the patient medicine? Why is that not allowed? Because, you know, the Gemara tells us it's a gzeira of shkichasimanim, that they may go ahead and you may grind up medicine. That's the way they used to go ahead and make medicine. And if we allow you to treat the patient on any level, then we're afraid that you may go ahead in your own little laboratory downstairs and cook up and grind some medicine for this person. That refuah, parenthetically, again, this is not our topic, is something which doesn't just apply to giving medicine, but applies to anything that it's obvious is being done for the purpose of refuah. Right? I mean, if a person is drinking a cup of tea because he would normally drink a cup of tea, it just happens that he has a cold, so that's okay. But anything that a person would do, any vitamins, any ointments, any ice package, anything that a person would normally do for refuah, so that a person cannot do if the illness in question is only the mechush bi'alma, this low level of a cold or a headache or a flu, whatever the case is. That's category number one. There is a discussion, just parenthetically, in the poskim discussed by the Ksos HaShulchan about whether or not this gezeira should still apply nowadays or not. Whether or not a person should be allowed to take medicine, right? We know the whole gezeira of not taking medicine is maybe you may come to grind up medicine to eat that. Is that a real fear nowadays, or should we say this is a case of Shinoi Teva, where things have changed, nobody makes their own medicine anymore, so why do we still have that gezeira? So that's something which is discussed. And there's Shuvas HaRush, which is quoted. But that being said, the poskim is still very hesitant to assume that there was a Shinoi HaTeva, and therefore the Gzeira is still intact, and the person should still not take medicine. Okay, that's category number one, the category of Mechush V'Alma. There's a second category, right, which is something that's not clear whether or not it's a real category or not. And that's a case where a person, it's not just a Mechush, it's not just a headache, it's not just a sniffle, it's not just that you're not feeling well, but that mitzdar kol gufo, the person is literally in pain, right? It's a bad headache, it's a bad stomach ache, the person has a case of diarrhea, whatever the case is. He's not exactly a chole, but it's a pain somehow, and how you make that distinction is not exactly clear. It's a pain somehow that's affecting his entire guf. So questions for that person, the person who may not necessarily be a chole per se, he may not have a fever, he may not have anything medical, but his body's in pain. He has a headache which is taking over his whole body. So there's machlokas on how to judge that category. What many posts can feel, the more see among others, is that even a person is not sick, but the person himself is in pain, the person himself is in a real bodily discomfort, then that person has the status of a chola she'in bo sakana, a chola that's not in danger, and we'll discuss in a minute exactly what the parameters of a chola she'in bo sakana is. That's what the more see says. Other posts can be Teferi Sisrael, says that there's a new category. That this idea of a mitzta'er who's not sick, that's a new category in halacha. It's different than a chol ha'shein bo sakana. And what that person could do, he can ask a non-Jew to treat him, but only violate an issur d'rabbanan. How that would be, what the circumstances would be, we're not clear. But that's a new category. It's not a mechush bi'alma, it's not a chol ha'shein bo sakana. It's a person that's the mitzta'er, and he can only ask a non-Jew to treat him, only violating Nisa Durabana. And that's the second category, but again, one that's hard to figure out how that would actually play a role in Halakha L'maisa, a person dealing with whatever they're dealing with. Yeah.
Yeah, but if
Right. So that's fine. So that would seem to be that you yourself are doing it. In other words, because you're still eating, and it would seem to be. Again, the third category, which is obviously predominant for most cases that we deal with, is a chol she'ein bo sakana. Who's a chol she'ein bo sakana? So a person who, because of their illness, has to lie down, right? A person who has a fever, but the fever is not yet or is not at a dangerous point. Any tinok, any baby is considered to be a chola shein bo sakana. A person, a woman who is given... What's that? So that's not clear. I mean, it seems that it's only once they have a summer of independence, maybe 3, 4, 5 around then, and there was a teenager who would probably be a kid that's still very, very, very much dependent on their mothers. And, a woman who gives birth, and these halachos to some degree have changed with time, so a woman has 3 different statuses as far as her own refuah after she gives birth, right? The first 3 days, at least back in the time of the Gemara, and this way the Mechaber Paskins and Simin Shin Lamed, so even if the woman says, I don't want to be Mechal Shabbos, I don't want to take medicine, I don't want to do anything, so you force the woman the first 3 days to be Mechal Shabbos if it's for the purpose of Refuah. Between day 3 and day 7, if she wants to be Mechal Shabbos, even if it means violating it, so we still allow that. We don't force her to. But if she brings it up, if she wants to, day 3 to day 7, so therefore we allow for that because we know that she's still a Chola. Between day 8 and day 30, she has a status of a Chola. A cholish she'ein bo sakana. Okay. Another person has a status of cholish she'ein bo sakana also. A person who has asthma or a person who has epilepsy, they're not in the throes now of a fit, but they don't take their medicine, they will be in the future. So any person with asthma, before they've taken their medicine, before they're in a fit, that person has a status also of a cholish she'ein bo sakana. Okay, so the question is, what then is allowed for chola she'ein bo sakana? In other words, what is a person allowed to go ahead and do, really addressing Yonah's question? So there really is a pecking order of 3 different options, right? Just, keep in mind, is there someone who's at home, they're sick, they have 101 fever, 102 fever, a woman between day 8 and day 30, a child. Okay, so what's allowed to be done? So the machlokes, haposkim, what is more ideal? Is it more ideal... If, let's say again, and the circumstances nowadays won't have to think what they would be, is it better that a non-Jew is Mechalel Shabbos, and then it's done al yidei nochri, and that's the way that the Tzitz Eliezer, many people paskin, that's the best thing. In other words, if a person's a cholam, you need to attend to them, you yourself can't be Mechalel Shabbos on a dinda araisa, but the person needs some type of help. So the ideal is then that a non-Jew be Mechalel Shabbos, that's done al yidei nochri, right? That seems to be the best option. Other posts can feel that the best option is that the Jew himself does it, but he does it al yidei shinoi. That if a malacha has to be done on Shabbos, even if that malacha is a din d'oraisa, the best option is not to ask the non-Jew, but the best option is that the Jewish person does it themselves, but they do it al yidei shinoi. We pass like the Mandi Yomer that it's better for the non-Jew to do it. Okay. And the reason this would come up, and by the way, this, we should just note, and this is a separate discussion, what exactly shinoi is not exactly clear. I mean, if I go to a light switch, and I'm a righty, and I open the light with my left hand, right, is that a shinoi? Okay, what's that? Yeah, right, but there's a very famous shuv of the Adon Ezer that assumes that it's not. That the shinoi has to be somehow, it's dependent on the malacha, but it's also dependent on the result. I mean, the result itself... It's going to be identical, and it's done in the exact same way, but you're just doing it. I think shinoi, so the Abnezer seems to assume that's not considered to be a real valid shinoi. So among other reasons, that's another reason that we should ideally shoot to have the non-Jew do it, right, as opposed to we ourselves doing it. This often comes up in a hospital setting if someone has to work on Shabbos, right, and then you have the option of doing it yourself, I think shinoi. There's many malachos that you may have to do, writing papers, X, Y, and Z, or having the nurse do it or a non-Jewish person do it. That's why, according to most posts, it would be better if the non-Jew himself would do it. Now, if all 3 of those options, if all 2 of those options don't exist, namely, again, you doing something ayidei shinoi, or B, having done ayidei nochri, then the Jew himself, if you're chola she'ein bo sakana, can be mechal Shabbos, but only if an issa derabanan. If a person's chola she'in bo sakana, you can't then go ahead and make a fire for them to warm themselves by the fire. That's obviously not an option. You can't go ahead and do anything which may be an issa d'oraisa, but the Jew themselves, if option one and option two is not there, is allowed to go ahead and be mechal Shabbos on a din d'rabbanan. I mean, so Jew himself can take medicine, even though in theory that's an issa d'rabbanan, because that's something, again, which can't be done ayid in achri. Okay, so that's category number three. So category number one is mechosh b'yama. Category number two is mitzdar kol gufo, and category number three is a chol hashem bosakana. The fourth category, obviously, is that of a chol hashayesh bosakana, a person that does have a sakana. Okay, let me just mention, before we get to the issue of calling hatzalah, so let me just mention a few different issues that come up in the poskim concerning a chol hashayesh bosakana. So the first issue that comes up, which I'm sure most people are familiar with, is a very famous machlokes, whether or not to be mechalal Shabbos for chol hashayesh bosakana is hutra or only dechuya? Meaning, is it hutra that we say that whatever malacha you do, that malacha doesn't exist, it's not a real malacha? Or do we say that's dechuya, meaning that the malacha is still in place to some degree, that you're still doing that avodah, but you're allowed to be docha, you're allowed to push off doing that avodah? What might be a nafkamina between these two approaches? And this is the same machlokes we have when it comes to ochel nefesh and doing a bris on Shabbos and many other places also, is something hutra or dechuya. So what might be a nafkamina between hutra or dechuya? Anybody? Was it Yaakov? Yeah. Okay, so the first question would be, and all these things are discussed widely in the post-skim, and each one of these things themselves can be their own cheer. The question as far as, what are you allowed to be Mechalel Shabbos for? And obviously this is a very nogea question. Are you allowed to be Mechalel Shabbos to treat the patient directly, meaning to drive the person to the hospital, to do whatever has to be done directly for the refuah of the patient? Or is anything which is even subsidiary, something which is even not directly related but still helpful, might that be mutter and Shabbos as well? And one could say that this ties back to, is it hutra or dechuya? Meaning what? Meaning Rav Avadya Yosef has a tshuva. It's in Yichav Adas, Chelek Dalid, Simin Lamid, a long tshuva. And his maskana is, and he assumes that maybe Shom feel this way as well, and it's a very famous Magen Mishnah in Perek Beis, I believe Halacha Yud Gimel, in Hilchos Shabbos, that let's say that it's more comfortable for a patient to have the lights out, right, or the lights on. Or it's more comfortable for a patient if you run a bath for the patient. Or it's more comfortable for the patient to make them chicken soup, even though there's no chicken soup in the house, right? So all of these things, even though they're not an exact, direct refuah, I mean, that's not the central. Some people may claim that chicken soup is the central thing, but I think we're probably past that point already. So that's not the central way of being a merapid person, but yet many poskim still says that those things are mutter. Now maybe you should do those things ayidei shinoi, maybe you should have someone else do it, but fundamentally there's still a heter to treat a patient even in non-direct fashions. Again, an example that poskim give is like turning off the light so a person can sleep. It can't be something totally random. It can't be something which is out of the blue, or maybe he might like that, but anything which somehow can be helpful. So if you say that Pekuch Nefesh is Hutra, so it makes a lot of sense that perhaps there'd be a wider range of leniency in treating a patient. If you say it's the Chuya, we might be too nervous to do anything other than the direct treatment of the patient. You want to go? Yeah. Okay. That's one. Another area as well is the issue as far as who should go ahead and who should be Mechalel Shabbos. And these are the two big issues that we have, right? So what the Mechaber paskins, like in Simen Shin Chav Ches Sif Yud Beis, or Yud Gimel, Shin Chav Ches, by the way, is the big Simen that discusses these things, Shin Chav Ches, and Shin Lamed, is based on the Rosh that a Jew himself, and not just a Jew, but we're only in male company, not a woman and not a child, but an adult male should be the person to be Mechalel Shabbos. Why not a non-Jew? If you're in a hospital and you can be Mechalel Shabbos, or the non-Jew next to you, so why don't you have the non-Jew do it, right? So the two reasons given halacha is the Rosh says that if, let's say, in this circumstance, you ask the non-Jew to go ahead and to treat this person, you ask the non-Jew to be the driver, you ask the non-Jew to make the phone call, so in this case it's easy. In this case, you're there and he's there, and it's not going to be any delay. But there might be people who are there watching, and people might get the impression that you should always seek out a nachri, always seek out a non-Jew, and that's going to delay the process of the refuah. So as a way of making sure that the person is always treated properly, we say, don't ask anybody else, you do yourself, so that there's no chashash in the future, non-Jews nobody asks. So Tazk is a different reason. I'm not sure if this holds up nowadays anymore, but if a Jew himself is helping another Jew, he's going to do it faster. He's going to be more mizdaris about it. He's going to be more... Again, I don't think doctors would say it's necessarily true in the hospitals anymore, but that was the reason that the Taz goes ahead and he gives. So the Ramah paskins not that way. The Ramah there on the spot says that ideally you should always have a non-Jew go ahead and do it. You should always have a non-Jew being the person, I mean, if there's no non-Jew, so the Jew should do it. But let's say the non-Jew is there, so you should always make sure to ask the non-Jew. But this Ramah was attacked by the Aruch HaShulchan and the Taz and other people as well. So you could say perhaps it's the same question. If you say that the malacha pikuch nefesh is hutra, so then why not have a Jew do it? But if you're concerned that's only the chuya, it never makes sense again that you would want to have not a Jew, but a non-Jew. And one last issue along the same lines also, and this probably is the biggest issue when it comes to these questions, is about issues of shinoi. If there's a patient that you are treating, if there's a patient that you're healing, should you go ahead and should you use a shinoi or not, right? Now, obviously, a lot depends on what the case is and what the situation is. Would it delay treatment in any way whatsoever? But should a person even be thinking about using a shinoi when it comes to, treating a patient on Shabbos or getting to the hospital on Shabbos or anything else? There, again, the Mechaber says there's no need for it. Most posts can say that there's no need for it. But the Ramah, again, is machmir that a person should always try to use a shinoi. And this case often comes up. Michael can tell you, I don't know if... It seems for some reason that like 50% of people give birth on Shabbos. I don't know why, how exactly this comes out or why this happens. It doesn't really seem to make sense, but it's like the great luck. These things always come up. So the one case is parenthetically that everyone agrees you should use a shinoi is when it comes to labor. And the Gemara itself says this, when it comes to childbirth. Because childbirth, the Magen Mishnah says, is like a natural process. There's a haftacha, things will go right. It's not like a person has a heart attack that's completely unnatural. But labor, there's a certain haftacha, the women are supposed to have children, therefore things will go right. So if you could use a shinoi, so use a shinoi. But that discussion is extended to other places as well. So that might tie into the same issue as well. I mentioned two other points before we get to the issue of Hatzalah. The first question is, what is the parameter, and you might say this ties into the same issue of Hutra Dechuya, about how direct does the treatment have to be? I mean, obviously, if a person comes in, he needs open-heart surgery, be Michael Shalos open-heart surgery. The person has to get to the hospital, so by all means, drive the person. But let's say, as is in many cases, this comes up unfortunately, the person's in the hospital, it's on Shabbos, and these are literally Mais Mechol Yom, Mais Mechol Shabbos in hospitals, and a person wants to have their family nearby. As we know, and it's clear in every Mamar Chazal and every article written about Refuah, that the psychological state of a person, that if he feels that he has comfort and support around him, the impact that it has on that person. There's a study, we're short on time, but there's a study done by a world famous surgeon from Hopkins, I forgot his name, and so they used to ask him how he could have such high success rates in what he's doing. So he says that he carefully takes the cases that he's going to take. If he meets a person and the person says, I'm going to die, I have no chance, doctor, don't even worry, don't even try on me, he says, I don't want that person because I know the person has no chance. So if a person says, I'm going to do it and I'm confident and the person has a strong family around him, so that person has a 10 times better chance of surviving. It's a tremendous insight into sort of the broader approach to healing. So too, if a person wants his family around him, or anything, not anything, or many things that are there for psychological needs, right, as opposed to perhaps physical refuah, so one, according to most poskim, and Moshe has a truth about this, could be machal shalos for that also. You can call the relatives and say, come, your father needs you. So there's a question as far as whether you can do that in Doraisa or just the Rabbanans, but many poskim seem to assume that even to be machal shalos and Nisa Doraisa for psychological health is allowed to be done. The last issue before we get to calling Hatzalah is the issue about who is allowed to be treated. Now, this is a sensitive topic. Yonah? Yeah.
Let's just want to answer the hospital like on a Friday night. So Shabbos day, would you be able to go to the hospital?
Right.
But you don't know necessarily whatever the issue was, they took him to the hospital. You don't know if he's still in the hospital.
I mean, so you have no clue.
You don't know
if he's still in the hospital. I definitely would not, under the circumstances, drive. I mean, you don't know. You don't know who the person is. I mean, if anything, I would call first. You know, I would call maybe using a shinoi first to the hospital, find out from there, and then based on whatever they say, so I would operate based on that. Just to go stomp and drive a car, the person may be just in the lobby ready to go home, stay out of, I would definitely not do. But it's a good question. What's that? We have non-judicial, you're not always, you know, if you're living in Teaneck, you have to drive, you know, to drive 10 miles to find a local person, so, you know. So, yeah. So another question, by the way, this is a totally separate shiur, but there's a question about the Amir Liakim in general, which, as you know, is a very complicated topic. So when I lived in Einstein, so we had a person there, is Tzadik, a Nigerian guy by the name of Daniel, and he was like the resident person that everyone would ask for shaylos. The lights on, the lights off, the chillin's off, the chillin's on. So you would see him on Shabbos, and he's like, well, you know, Rabbi, what do you need me to do? Like, you want me to go turn off? How high do you want it? So the question that the Prima Gadim actually discusses is when, you know, when you have a person, this wouldn't be true in every case, but who knows exactly what you always want from them, so they're talking, but therefore means it's never going to be effective because this person is like the most experienced, you know, Shabbos Goy in the area. Is that still considered to be an Amir Liakum, which is allowed? Now, certain cases, you don't even have to do Bederech Mizah, that would be different, but, you know, it's not always easy for Amir Liakum Muslim. Okay, so the last issue is, who is a person allowed to be Mechalel Shabbos for on Shabbos? Right, and are you allowed to be Mechalel Shabbos for an unborn fetus? That's the Machlokes we showed him. I'm just sort of throwing these out as general things, and each one itself, again, is a topic. There's a discussion in the post-game about a person that tries to commit suicide. Are you allowed to go ahead and be Mechal Shabbos to save that person or help the person, right, who tried to commit suicide? So there, everyone seems to assume that's not a problem. It's not an issue. And as people know from learning Hilchos Aveilos and Shimnem Hei and the Shulchan Aruch, to actually assume that a person committed suicide, it's almost impossible. The person would have to write out a note saying that I'm doing it at 2:40 in the afternoon, I'm going on the roof, and so we never anyway assume that a person really tried to commit suicide anyway. The issues that do come up, which are discussed widely in halacha, is an issue of being Mechalel Shabbos for a person that's a Mechalel Shabbos for Hesia, right? Are you allowed to Mechalel Shabbos for a person that is Mechalel Shabbos? Obviously nowadays, and all these shailos that come up, the answer always is yes. You know, we know the famous Chazon Ish, and the Chazon Ish says that people are no longer considered to be Alahakas anymore. Therefore, you can always be Mechalel Shabbos no matter who the person is. But it's interesting to note that the Mishnah Berurah and the Prima Gadim felt the answer was no. That if the person was Mechalel Shabbos for Hesia, especially if it's Lahakas, one cannot be Mechalel Shabbos for that person. The really tricky issue that comes up, that obviously it's hard to discuss these things in public, is being Mechalel Shabbos for a Nochri. Could you be Mechalel Shabbos on an Issa D'Oraisa for a non-Jew or not? And again, the Mishnah Berurah, the Chafetz Chaim, felt that the answer was no, unless there was like a direct sakana of sorts. But many other posts can feel not that way. The Chasam Sofer and Rav Moshe. So Rav Moshe's logic was the following. Rav Moshe's logic was that there's a real Mishum Eva in this case. If you have to treat a patient and you don't do so, so the repercussions to the Jewish community, the repercussions to you personally, is going to be such a dangerous situation that even though in theory Mishum Eva usually only applies, I'm sorry, this is a little quick, on Durabanans, in this case we would ratchet up the heter of Mishum Eva to even a case of an Issa D'Oraisa as well. Elia? So that he doesn't spell out. That he doesn't spell out. You won't treat Jews anymore? I mean, you can just imagine. I mean, actually, people are interested because I know some people here want to do Shomer Shabbos residencies in the future. So in Sinai Hospital in Baltimore, so they always had a Shomer Shabbos residency. And then about 5 years ago, 6 years ago or so, so there's a frum doctor who was on call, right? And right before Shabbos, the patient came in, and he basically went like running out. Okay, Shabbos is now, I have to leave. And the patient's like sitting there, right? I'm not exactly completely sure about the details. And they decided to cancel the program. And Rabbi Neuberger, Avraham Shalom, who was the dean and the don of Neri Israel, so he made a call to the governor, to this, to that, and they got the program back in also. But people in this program were looking to not have a Shomer Shabbos residency. In other words, there is a certain animosity beneath the surface that exists in hospitals, even in communities like Baltimore, New York, etc., etc. And, you know, so therefore there has to be a cautiousness. There is a shita, by the way, and not to get too far afield, that Tosos discusses in Avodah Zarah and Dr. Gimel Med Aleph, and the Chasam Sofer exposed it like the shita also, where that you could go ahead for a reason on a Durabanan level. What Tosos discussed there is, could you go ahead and be oker, people immediately here learn the first book of Avodah Zarah, a person who sells their animals in a shuk of Avodah Zarah, so you're allowed to be oker the hooves of the animal as a kenas to the person, right? So Tosa says, if you assume that Tzar Bal Chayim is an Isser D'Oraisa, so how could we be oker the hooves? There's a Knas D'Rabbanan. How could that Knas D'Rabbanan beat out the Isser D'Oraisa of Tzar Bal Chayim? How can you have such a thing? So Tosfos says there in Avodah Zarah that sometimes if there's a real tzorech, so even though the issue is only a Durabanan issue, that can outweigh a Doraisa. Tosfos says this in Ksuvos as well. So you might say here also, so even though Mishum Eva usually only operates on a level of a Din Durabanan, if there's enough of a tzorech, maybe that could be Michal Shavos and a Doraisa, and supposedly the Chassam Sofer like that there. It's, okay. The question is, sorry if this is in any way vague, right? At what point, what qualifies as a cholish yesh bo sakana? So we know if it's a cholish yesh bo sakana, you're allowed to call hatzala, you're allowed to go to the hospital, you're allowed to do what you have to do. But what qualifies as a cholish yesh bo sakana? So certain things are obvious, right? No one has to tell you that someone has a heart attack, chas v'shalom, right? The person passes out cold or whatever reason, that's obviously a cholish yesh bo sakana. No one has to tell you that if you're in the street and someone gets hit by a car, right, that's a cholish yesh bo sakana. That's not a question, obviously. No one has to tell you that if your wife's about to give birth, right, and it's Shabbos, you shouldn't say, you know, honey, wait another 5 hours, and then we'll go to the hospital. That's an obvious point, right? Question is, like, what? Have issues that are a little trickier. Okay. I think the piece of hadracha, and we will try to carry this out in throughout the different cases, is that a person has to use the mentality in mind of what would you do if it was a Wednesday or a Thursday, right? Meaning that if on any given Wednesday or any given Thursday, assuming you're not a hypochondriac, you have people in the world, they always want to go to the emergency room. There must be people, they want attention, they need attention, so they look, what's that? Yeah, so they look for reasons to go ahead and be treated by doctors. So that person you have to be a little bit hesitant about. But the average person here, anybody here has been before at the Columbia emergency room and you've waited there for, you know, 20 hours when your, you know, leg is falling off, right? So no one wants to go to emergency rooms. So the really it would be that if you feel an issue is serious enough that you would go to an emergency room, you would call Hatzalah on a Wednesday or Thursday or Friday, that would seem to be the level of requirement to call Hatzalah also or to go to the hospital on Shabbos as well. The Hainu. What would be an example to this? So let's say if a person has a high fever, right? So it's a question as far as what exactly does a high fever mean? Most says a high fever even is 101. Most people seem to reject that. 101 is not so uncommon. I'm sure people here have had 101 even sometime this week, right? Other people can say 102 or 103, right? But it's really not so much what the quality of the fever is. And by the way, you're allowed to take temperature on Shabbos, right? It's really much more an issue about how the person seems to be. And was that? No. Lashon thermometer, I don't know exactly what the issue is. I don't know if that'd be the one or the rest, depending on how it works. But, you know, it's probably better to take with lashon thermometer than just rush up to the hospital. No. Mechush Miyama, if you're Mechush Miyama, you know that you're Mechush Miyama. In other words, if you know that you have a cold, so then you can't... But a normal thermometer, so then there doesn't seem to be a issue involved with a normal thermometer.
Not at all.
That doesn't seem to be. What? Yeah. I don't know, there's no today. There's no... I don't know what the issue would be. I don't know if that's Mode. Mode is, yeah, okay. Yeah. So as I said, it's not a problem, but... Right, exactly. So, but I thought he meant as far as electric thermometers, right? So if it's not so much whether you have 103 or not, because sometimes you can just have 103. You know you have a virus, you know you're not feeling well, you've had a virus 100 times before, but you see that your kid or you see that your wife or your friend is just not responsive. You know, they're taking medicine, the fever is not still going down, right? They seem completely unresponsive. So that's a case already where it's 103 fever, but really it's much more the tfiyas einayim of the person that is there. And the person, if you know, I've gotten sick before, I've had 103 before, I'm fine, I don't want to call the doctor, that person knows themselves. But if it's 103 fever mixed together with a lack of responsiveness, and responsiveness to medicine, and responsiveness to stimuli around them, that already then has to be a real sakana. And a person should feel, you know what, if on Thursday I would call the doctor because of this, then on Shabbos I should call the doctor as well. That applies as well to headaches, right? A lot of people here get migraines. If you get a bad migraine headache on Shabbos, so what are you going to do? You'll lie down, you'll take your migraine medicine, you'll lie in a dark room, right? But for a person that never ever has had migraines before, and all of a sudden you have a splitting headache, that could be a tumor. That could be many very serious things, right? There's a friend of mine in Einstein, people from Brooklyn may know who he is, so his wife had an awful migraine on Erev Shabbos. They brought her to NYU, and she had a tumor mamish the size of her brain. So Baruch Hashem wasn't cancer, she took the whole thing out a few months ago. But migraines that are unusual, especially after you try to treat them and they don't go down, that's something that if you would call on Thursday the doctor, which you should if you're not used to getting migraines, so on Shabbos as well, that will be a circumstance, that will be a reason to go ahead and to call a doctor. Another circumstance as well, a person that gets very, 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 very bad stomach pains, right? So some people in general have bad stomachs, and it's not unusual to get pains that are stomach pains. But if you're not used to those pains, and all of a sudden you begin to have an awful shooting pain in your stomach, it could be appendix, it could be a number of things, if it's unusual and you try to treat it yourself, and you maybe rest, and it still doesn't work, these should be cases where you call Hatzalah. If worse comes to worse, if Baruch Hashem it's nothing, so there shouldn't be any feeling at all that I've done something wrong. There is a tshuva of the Chavos Yair, it's in Reish Lamed Vav, that says that you need kapara for being Mechalel Shabbos. But no one else says that. Everyone else says, you know what, there's no need for kapara. If let's say you made a mistake, you made a mistake, but it's better to be safe than sorry about something that you're not familiar with. If you're familiar with your body and you know that you get stomachaches, obviously it's not a reason to call the doctor. There are a number of areas that are discussed by Poskim. The one is a person gets a knife wound, right? I don't know, you know, in Washington Heights, you never know. So when Reher Aaron and I, when we were in NYU many years ago, even before my time, so back then, I don't know if people appreciate what Washington Heights used to be like. From here to the A train, you'd have to be like a wager to, am I right? This guy here got stabbed on the way to A train. Anyway, good. So, what's that?
Danny Greenwald,
exactly. So let's say a person gets stabbed. Even a person doesn't get stabbed. The person, you know, is cutting something and cuts himself with a knife. So that's a case where the Shulchan Aruch says that any knife wound, a person should be Mechalel Shabbos for. Because Machlok is what that means. Does that mean that I'm cutting vegetable and I get a little nick over there? Some postmen say yes, right? We seem to assume not that way. We seem to assume that only if it's something that really sort of punctured the skin in the hand in a real way. Or if there's a chashash that the knife was rusty and you would need a tetanus shot. Right, so that's a case where a person should absolutely be Mechalel Shabbos for. A person cut themselves on a nail. Don't say, I'll wait tomorrow. If you need a tetanus shot now, that's the case, again, where a person should be Mechalel Shabbos, cutting themselves on something which is rusty or a knife, etc., etc. It's a question. What's that? Okay, so the question that Harari mentioned is the big question is Sakhanas Eiver, right? Let's say you have a limb which is in danger. So the one limb which everyone agrees with that you have to be Mechalel Shabbos for, anybody know? Is your eyes. What exactly it means is not clear. In other words, the postman say if your eyes are tearing, I don't know if that means, it doesn't obviously mean normal tearing. It means that's something that you really feel is wrong with your eyes that you haven't had before, you know?
No, it's like
right, so definitely an infection, absolutely, yeah. But I don't know exactly, I'm not knowledgeable enough to know what an eye infection is. But, you know, so eyes definitely one should be Mechal Shabbos for. Other limbs, if, let's say, it's a limb, and again, and you'll see in a moment why this whole conversation may be not halacha maisa, if it's a limb that you think your whole body is going to be affected, so therefore everyone agrees that you should be Mechalel Shabbos. If, however, just as one limb, I don't know exactly what that means, you know, your finger, something happens, you're worried about your finger, so there is Machlokes Rishonim, whether you be Mechalel Shabbos. You break your finger, right? Should you be Mechalel Shabbos or not? So the Mechaber Paskins that you cannot be Mechalel Shabbos for that. You could ask a non-Jew, or you could, right, there's no other choice, be Mechal Shabbos and Dinder Rabbanon, but Sakanas Eiver, fundamentally, according to many Rishonim, and this was Shulchan Aruch Paskins, is not a real Sakana. The Tzitz Eliezer says, Bizman Azeh, so it's Choshim and Sakana, but like plus a little bit. By there's three sheets brought down in the Mechaber, but the last sheet is that even Mechadchila, the non-Jew himself, can treat it as opposed to B'dieved. It's like an advanced. But Tzitz Eliezer says, which is a little bit ironic, he says nowadays we don't know anything about our bodies. We don't know that maybe this Sakanas Eiver, your hand is broken. What impact that's going to have? What infection is going to spread? What you're going to do? What it means for the rest of your body? So therefore, the Tzitz Eliezer says, and many posts can agree with him, that fundamentally every case of Sakanas Eiver is a real Sakana. Therefore, one should never play around with that. Now that being said, this question as far as what's Sakanas Eiver exactly? Sakanas Eiver seems to be different than a broken bone. If it's a Sakanas Eiver, you're nervous about the long-term health of the limb, that may be one thing, right? So definitely, if there's a fear of like a long-term health of the limb, a bad infection, it got hit by, I don't know exactly what that case would be, that's a case between Mechal Shabbos. Broken bones, the post can make a distinction about. But again, I think with Zman HaZeh, unless you have a paramedic on hand, it's probably worth calling and placing a phone call. If it's a limb, and again, how this plays out, which is a long limb, this is long, or if it's a compound fracture, there one's not to be Mechal Shabbos. If it's not a compound fracture, if it's only on a smaller bone, they're supposed to say not to be. So again, so bismayz has tell us either what should be mechallel Shabbos. If it's just a break, right, your kid falls out of a tree and they've broken it out, so there it depends on what type of break it is. Again, if you don't have a doctor nearby and you're nervous about what the circumstances is, it may be worth Ayidei Shinui to call a doctor and find out what's going on if there is a broken bone. It says, you know, you can fix it, if you can wrap it around. I don't know, like, I wouldn't trust myself in such a circumstance. If it was me and there's no doctor which is around, you know, which it's pretty hard nowadays for there not to be, right, within a block of where you live, but definitely it's worth placing a phone call if you know there's a broken bone and you're not sure what to do, no matter what the bone is like, big bone, small bone, compound fracture, non-compound fracture. Elia? That's a good question. I mean, in a case where it's not a real pikuch nefesh, so then, I mean, that whole discussion before is only in the case of real pikuch nefesh, and you want to have the Jews involved. So there you would say yes. I mean, in a case where you know it's not going to be life-threatening, it's better to have a non-Jew do it under those circumstances, right? I mean, the only case we said before that it's better to have Jews is in a case where it's mamish pikuch nefesh. If it's in a case where you're just not sure, so I would probably say in that case, I did not. I mean, again, you know, I think that has to be like a judgment call. In other words, if you have a case where, again, a kid falls out of a tree, they break a bone, okay, so it probably won't be the last bone they break. You know, if you feel that's anything, that there's a real time issue involved, someone's not breathing properly, so therefore, by all means, you should always use the faster. Right. No, economic. Right. Right. That ties in, by the way, also what Elliot has mentioned about sutures on Shabbos, right? Let's say someone falls and they're bleeding badly, stitches. For people, sutures, I guess, is an older word. So the first time they get stitches on Shabbos, so the question as far as is that allowed or not? So the Tzitzel again felt that because we're nervous about infection, therefore he says the person is allowed to get stitches on Shabbos. However, to go back to Elliot's point, it's better to have a non-Jew do it because there it's not a real, again, we're not... Not to cook nefesh in the same way, as far as the tying, which really is an issur d'oraisa of kosher, so it's better there to have a non-Jew do it versus a Jew. So, depending on what the circumstance is. In other words, if there's no other option, you're really afraid about infection, especially if it's on the face, so therefore yes. So other posts can feel not to it. Other posts can feel that if you can wait until after Shabbos, it's better to do it then. Maybe put some glue on it, or nowadays they don't always use stitches anyway. They use like the cement glue, or they use the band-aids that are very tight, what it's called, right? And he says, and what other posts can feel, the Nechas Yitzchak among others, is that even if we're afraid about scarring, that's not enough reason to go ahead and go call a child. Was it? Yeah. You have to finish up? Okay. So just in conclusion, I think that we mentioned all of the major cases. So in conclusion, this is something that people, especially if they want to know halacha, and especially if you want to go into medicine, it's worth spending a lot of time doing this. There's many sfarim which are out there, and it's something that a person really needs to know halacha. If you don't know halacha, either you're going to be taking a risk, or B, alternatively, on the other hand, you may be mechal shabbos, you know how to be mechal shabbos. So really, it's an opportunity, what Yonah is doing, what people are doing, to really learn halacha properly, submit shin chafes. If you have any questions, feel free to ask for Shechter and others. If they're not around, you can certainly ask me.
Okay. I'd just like to thank everybody for coming. Thank you guys West for giving the shiur. And this is the first of a series of shiurim related to Shabbos, so be aware for signs that will be posted. If anyone has any suggestions or prefers another time slot or anything like that, feel free to let us know. We're always open for suggestions.
Well, also, does anyone want to do a continuation of this shiur? Like the Rabbi Glass? Would you like to do a continuation of this shiur to sort of get more... It's more involved in this because there were certain people who had to rush through.
Right.
That really flushed this topic out.
I think maybe the best way to do it is bring in a person for this topic. I can talk to you privately.
Okay.
The person who's a physician actually sees the cases. Who wants to know, that might be the best. I'm not saying not to do it, but that can be like more like a practical.
Would people be interested in that? Doing more flush, like flushing out part of when you actually did the call? Is that interested at all? It's working on your way and now that everybody wants to do it.
There really is. Today, actually, for a boy.
Feel free to take plenty of photos. We got plenty more.
And later on, thank God he's okay. But just from a pinky, you never know.
No.
on and off the light in their house. It makes that big of a difference, you know?
So, I don't think that's... No, I don't think that's what you're doing. I was
the first one of the top.
Oh, did you go back to Eric Straub?
Yeah.